here's the simple formula for subject lines. The formula for subject line is benefit plus curiosity. Benefit plus curiosity. What that means is, what's in it for me, the reader, plus can you make me a little curious about something?
Este é o podcast do Tiago Faria. Para mais episódios, vá a tiagofaria.pt.
Olá, Tiago Faria, tiagofaria.pt. E este é o episódio número 33 do podcast do Tiago. Eu tenho mais um daqueles mega convidados, mais uma daquelas pessoas que eu tenho acompanhado já há algum tempo. Inclusive fiz um dos seus cursos sobre copywriting e email marketing e vai ser de facto uma entrevista maravilhosa. Ele chama-se Terry Dean, ele é um coach de empreendedores, ele é um mentor de internet lifestyle, ou seja, viver de negócios online. Ele é copywriter, portanto é uma das suas maiores valências e alguém que já faz dinheiro online desde 1996, ou seja, acho que era antes de eu ter internet em casa, eu ia para aquelas lojas de computadores para fazer o chatting no Mirk. Portanto, é alguém que já faz dinheiro há mais de 23 anos, o que é incrivelmente, é único e acho que impensável em Portugal. Hi Terry, welcome to my channel. How are you?
I'm glad to be here.
Fantastic. Thank you so much for your time. We're going to have some fun. I made a quick intro. I told the guys that you are on internet for 23 years. You're making money online. But for those who don't know you, could you tell like a little background of you?
Okay. Well, I first got started in 1996. So that's like ancient days for online marketing. And back then, I actually got started on CompuServe. Again, that just reveals how long ago it was before AOL was sending out all the disks, I think. And I ended up getting a lot of those. There were a lot of coasters around the house from AOL of all the disks they sent out. So I first came online. Basically, I came online wanting to sell something because I had done a lot of businesses previously, mm-hmm. a lot of business opportunities. Like I had been network marketing. I tried door-to-door sales. I lasted a grand total of 2 weeks selling satellite dishes door-to-door because I sold a grand total of zero. And they let me go very friendly. They're like, okay, you're done here. You can't make any sales and we have to pay you minimum wage. So goodbye. And that was my experience of selling before I came online. And so I came online on CompuServe. And when I came online, I basically started posting in some message boards and some groups. And it's interesting how what is old is new again, because CompuServe is long gone. But I've worked with clients who they generate a lot of leads and sales from Facebook groups. Mm-hmm. Or in business to business and LinkedIn groups. So what's old is new again. I got started in CompuServe groups. And basically the way that you participated in those was you started giving value. You'd go in and I'd participate in these groups. I'd answer questions. I'd talk to people. Mm-hmm. And I did one of the smartest things I ever did in my business. One of the smartest things I did in my life, which was I started an email list. And back then, you know, we didn't have everything we have today, all the tools. There's so many email servers out there. I'm not even going to mention which one to go with, but there's just tons of them. Mm-hmm. MailChimp and AWeber and GetResponse and ActiveCampaign, all those are out there today. Back then, I had to use software that ran on my own computer to send out the emails in the very beginning. But I built an email list, and again, it was just on opt-in. I basically would give away a free report, which is interesting because we still give away free reports today, or even more likely, we give away cheat sheets or a video. Yeah. People join our email list. And I got people on my email list. I started emailing them regularly, which for me at that time, that was at least once a week. I would send out an email. I started selling products to it. And again, my lightning fast brain figured out something. I started making sales. And as my list grew, so did my income. So if I built my list and I built a relationship with them, my income grew along with it. And that's really the foundation of my business. And then it kept jumping here because people started hearing about my success with email marketing. I got invited to some internet conferences. And then I did this really big thing at some internet conferences where I said I would demonstrate, I'd send out one email to my list on a Friday. And by Sunday, they'd see how many sales I'd make. And so that we just see what went on. I did that multiple times. And every time I generated more than 10,000, you know, minimum, I think the actual lowest might've been like 30 something thousand. But the big one, the one that everyone talked about was I did $96,250 from one email to my list in front of a live audience. And as you can imagine, that like just changed people's mindset because I was a solo entrepreneur, no employees. My wife worked with me and helped me, but that was the extent of my business, was me working at home, generating incomes like that just by sending out emails. And basically that was the business I built. And then I taught others how to do it. And there's been so many things, of course, over the 23 years, going on 24 soon, that I've been online that we could talk about. But I think that's a pretty extensive intro.
Yes, that's insane. We'll go into some of those details that you touched upon. But before that, I'd love for you to go back a bit to your childhood, if you may, to kind of understand what kind of type of child you were. Where did you grow up? What were your dreams, aspirations? Was it something related to this, completely different, if you don't mind?
Well, you know, when I was a child, I don't think I really had a refined profession. I want to be this.
Yeah.
You hear a lot of entrepreneurs talk about how they were doing sales, or they ran, you know, all these things they did, selling door to door or running their own businesses. I never did
or
any of that.
Stands or...
I didn't do any of those things. I had different things I thought about. When I was young, I ended up actually going to Bible college. I went to Bible college, which I didn't graduate from, but I went to Bible college. The story there is I ended up didn't graduate because I got married to one of the school teachers there, and we had some issues there. But so I'm a Bible college dropout when I talk about being a college dropout. And I basically started the business out of frustration and being broke. So it didn't really have a lot of connections with my childhood. I had thought about a lot of things I wanted to be when I grew up, something that made money, doctors or lawyers or something. But then I end up going to Bible college, which is kind of weird for that dream. And then, so it's kind of a weird path that I accidentally ended up on the internet and created a very successful business. Primarily my business has been on my own personal business has been information products that I sell or doing consulting and coaching with other clients. And that's where my expertise is really broadened, is I've consulted and coached for most types of businesses. You know, I'm sure there's some businesses I've never touched, but I've done a ton with different clients, or especially because I've even done workshops where one of the things they've had me do at workshops is hot seats, going through and give me like 15 to 30 minutes and see how we can redo someone's website and funnels and emails. And what kind of transformation can we do quick? So I had to learn how to get things done fast. Workshops.
And you have a really a fascinating origin story. You always touch upon the your job that has a pizza delivery guy. Was it your first real job, or was it like
No? I had several different jobs that I did. Like I signed people up for credit cards in front of Sears, which I was actually decently good at that because I did something most people didn't, which was I would grab crowds of people and get a whole bunch of people to sign up at once. And I got decent commissions there. I did the satellite dishes, selling door to door, which I did very poorly. I talk about the pizza delivery driver all the time because that's the last job.
The last one, exactly.
Not the first job, but the last job that I'll ever have. And I very confidently say that I'm not going back to ever work for anyone else. And pizza very delivery true. Driver really drove that into me.
And out of all those job experiences, is there anything that you think any experience that you took from that, any lessons that you took from those experiences for your future as an entrepreneur?
Probably the signing people up for credit cards in front of Sears is the one that worked the best for me. I was working for a company called One for All Promotions at the time. And I, again, being really good at marketing to crowds. Okay, so like what a lot of people would do, I was basically one of those people who'd stand out in front of Sears and say, hey, if you sign up for a credit card, we'll give you this little teddy bear. And so, you know, sign up for a credit card and your girlfriend here gets a teddy bear. Or, you know, get this your family, get this for your kids right here as you come up. And then I would grab these huge groups of people. So I found that was just more, that was a better use of my time. So whereas somebody else would be signing up one person and getting a commission off of one person, I was signing up four or five people in one big group that are all friends together. And the trick always was, if I could get one of them to do it, then everybody else is just standing around doing nothing. So I said, you know, you kind of have to wait for them anyway. Why don't you sign up as well? And that little pitch I took in with business, which is, if you actually think about there, that's social proof.
Yeah.
They're doing it, so why aren't you doing it as well? And so it's the same thing that we do online. And also going after the leverage of a business, which is what an email list was for me, was leverage. I wasn't selling one-to-one, which I was never really good at selling one-to-one, which my satellite dishes experience told me.
Told you.
And so email marketing became a really big deal for me because I could send out an email to one person and I could send out an email to 10,000 people. And of course, 10,000 people is going to be a lot more leverage, generate a lot more income. Mm-hmm. And the nice thing is as your list grows, it doesn't really change the amount of work that you have to do in the business other than you're going to have to generate a lot. You're going to be generating a lot more sales on the back end from it. Mm. But it's just as easy to mail that that email to 100,000 people as it is to mail it to 100 people.
Yeah, and so you said that you're getting tired of working for other people, right? So as a business delivery guy, was the peak of it. Can you describe just the 3 months prior to deciding to start the business systems? 2000 was the company that you started, right? Can you describe what you're feeling there, your obstacles?
Well, it was a painful experience because at that time, my wife and I had a lot of credit card debt. We had a lot of creditors calling all hours of the day and night. And back then, a lot of the creditors didn't even follow the law. I remember one of the creditors even calling my dad, which, you know, he lived in the same city as us, and telling him something like, if we didn't pay our credit card bill soon, we were going to go to jail. They were lying like that. That was a lie, obviously.
Yeah.
That's not how debt works in the U.S. But that's what they told him. And he came up overall freaked out about this. So you got to imagine that's the place we're in. We couldn't pay bills.
Wow.
We were struggling because we didn't earn enough in what we were doing. I worked as a pizza delivery driver. My wife worked at, I think it was Sanyo, which was a factory making discs at the time. And, you know, we just didn't have enough income coming in. So it was a very painful place to be. Mm-hmm. And it's kind of scary.
Yeah.
Where I was at, I went out and used one of the credit cards that we had maxed out to buy my first computer, which was dating myself, a Pentium 75, which we bought at Best Buy, and it cost over $2,000, which you can get great computers today, you know, for mm-hmm. $500 to $1,000. So we're talking a ton of money put out for that, and came with, you know, printer and monitor package. And
your wife reacted well with that decision?
She actually said she believed I could do whatever it is I set my mind to do.
Oh, wow. And, fantastic. Amazing.
You know, and even with that mess that we were in,
wow,
she supported me. And it started that's the place that I started, and it started going online. And when I first started building some relationships and started building the list, it was, you know, a few months in, and we're generating good income. And I quit my job. She was still working for a little while at the factory. Mm-hmm. Until even more was coming in, because there's just, you know, phases as you change over things as your business starts online. But she was supportive all the way.
Incredible. Fantastic. Amazing. So the first few months you quit your job, you're already focused on this business. What do you think were the major mistakes you did in the beginning that turned out amazing lessons now?
Well, it wasn't really the very beginning that I made the mistakes, because I did a lot of things right in the beginning, which is why the business worked, which was building the list was a big key, starting to build the list. And of course, I made little minor mistakes on the emails I sent out with the list and learning to be a little more personal. Probably the biggest lesson I had to learn the first year was to not be really logical in my emails and just write the whole facts of something. Mm-hmm. I had to learn how to tell stories, which means talk about myself, talk about what was going on in my life, and be someone who could share that, because that didn't come natural to me at all. So I'm sure I screwed up a lot on not doing that and not building that trust and relationship with people.
Did you learn that with time, or was it some tip that you heard, oh, maybe I should start talking about
myself? No, it was mostly practice.
Wow. You tried many things.
Yeah, I tried many things. And that's the really beautiful thing about having an email list, is once you have an email list, as long as you don't really screw it all up, you know, and curse out your subscribers, you stay on topic somehow, they're with you, and you can watch things. You can watch what works. You can watch open rates. You can watch click rates. You can watch sales. And that's the most important thing. I sent out this email and a whole bunch of sales came in. Well, I'm going to do more of that. I'm going to practice more of that whenever sales come in. Something I remember that happened that was really a big revelation for me was I had purchased a license to someone else's information product. So some of the very first products, again, I'm spending money we didn't necessarily have, but I bought some from licenses to VHS tapes. So we're talking some, again, old time period. These were VHS tapes that were like self-help speakers. Like, I remember one of them was Mark Victor Hansen and several other speakers that were like self-help speakers. And I started selling those for my website. Well, they came with this really ugly website and with these flashing GIFs. I mean, it's just ugly. So my wife actually helped me with this, and we designed a really good looking website. We kept the same sales copy, put on a good looking website, and sales completely stopped. That was totally weird to me that we created a nice design and sales stopped. But again, I was smart enough after a couple of weeks to put back the old
put
sales,
back.
Put back the ugly sales pages, and they started making sales again. And I was totally clueless at that point in time why it did that, but yeah. It took me a couple of years to figure it out later. The reason why was when we designed the nice design, more attention went to the design, whereas with the ugly pages, the design the attention was on the copy. And that's a key aspect when you look at a website. If you hire a website designer, mm-hmm. a lot of website designers will give you a great looking website, and that's good. Okay, the lesson here is not that good weight river websites don't sell. It's good if you have a great looking website. It adds credibility and proof. And if you're a designer, you had better have a nice looking website because people are going to judge you based on your website. But what I had done by using our nice site that we created was we took the emphasis off the copy. So that's the rule with any design you work with is the words and the copy outrule the design. And this designers hate this, but that means the copywriter needs to have more power in your business than the designer does. Mm. Because the copywriter needs to make sure that the words they're highlighting that actually sell the product are what's focused on. And a good designer who knows that can do an incredible job because they can make sure they're highlighting the main subheads. They call out the main subheads. They make sure they don't use reverse type on what they want somebody to actually read. Unless it's a headline. And so there's a lot of things they can do to call it, which means they can use reverse type on a big headline that they want someone to read. And they can do a lot of other things that make sure the design support the copy, such as every picture should have a little caption under it that's benefit rich that the copywriter designed. You do those types of things and you can use good designs to improve the conversion. So those are a couple of mistakes, was not being personal, not telling stories, and then letting design overrule the copy.
Yes.
Two huge mistakes.
That's one of the very common mistakes. Business owners want a beautiful website. I want something beautiful that has carousels and stuff, right? But don't focus on what really matters, which is copy. And eventually you sold that business, right? And then you retired for 18 months, which was...
18 months. I took a year and a half off because a major mistake I made in that business, which is another lesson here, was I had... done too much on myself. I let too much rely on myself. I made myself too accessible to people. There was even a point before I sold that business that helped me burn out was the fact that, again, I have a big email list. At that time, when I sold that business, we're talking a very big email list, over 100,000 subscribers.
Jesus.
And when people would reply back to some of my emails, I was actually going through personally answering all of them.
And
that took hours per day.
And so you never hired any assistants or anything, huh?
Other than my wife, who worked as an assistant. I still was answering all those. It's just like that was insane at that point in time.
Yeah.
And it didn't jog my brain until I had someone who had emailed me back and forth a bunch of times, and I had helped them for free a bunch of times, and then they told me that they hired somebody else as their coach. I was like, dude, I just did all this, and you're going to hire somebody else instead of me after doing all that? That's because I made myself too accessible at that point in time and didn't keep control of my time, didn't value my time enough. And that really caused me to burn out, where I had to sell that business and take the time off, which I enjoyed taking the time off. But then I missed going back in some of the creativity points and coming back to the business. And when I came back, I did a lot more individual coaching in different markets, basically so I could have my hand in a lot of different markets and see what works across the board. Because here's a big mistake. A lot of the training that people will hear online comes from people who are what we'd call in the internet marketing niche. Okay. And the internet marketing niche is a little different than the rest. And I mean, still people, human nature is the same, but things change faster. Internet marketing niche, the copy is more aggressive. Internet marketing niche than what is comfortable in most other niches and what works in other niches. And so that is actually a mistake that a lot of people take their training from people who just focus on internet marketing niche. And I wanted to make sure when I came back that I helped in all these other niches. Like right now, not even talking over the past more than a decade, but right now I have clients who are in tennis, who are in golf fitness, who teach Spanish, who help chiropractors, CPAs, basically all these different types of businesses, continuing education, just ongoing different types of things. And that really helps me see what works across all the different markets. So when I teach my clients something now or teach customers something, it's likely that I've already tested it in half a dozen different markets.
Mm. Yeah, and you're able to bring ideas from one niche to the other and mix and match. It's really cool.
Yes, like this is working over here, and then we tried it over here. It's working over here. Okay, mm-hmm. How do we implement it here? And there's always like little slight changes as you go from one niche to another and how you implement things.
Fascinating. That's my marketing coach, right? Your company.
Yeah.
And the basis of all what you do is mostly email marketing, right? That's the core of what you teach people, right?
I teach email marketing, a lot of copywriting, conversion.
Copywriting,
I
teach exactly.
Funnels. You could actually say this, probably if you had to define what I do, is I teach people how to make more sales online.
Yes.
That's what they come to. They come to me because they want to make more sales from their current websites, from their current emails, from their current sales videos. Uh-huh. They come to me because they want to make more sales from their Facebook ads. So they come to me because they want to make more sales. The best way I define myself is I am an online salesperson who show me any website and I can help you make more money from it.
Absolutely. But touching now on email, what would you say to those people that now are claiming that email marketing is not working anymore, it's social media is the way? What would you say to those business owners?
Well, social media is a great way to build your email list. That's my first statement for them. it's a great way to build your email list today. But what I don't ever want to do is I don't ever want to be trapped on any network that let them run my business. Let's say that you build your whole business on Facebook. What happens the day that Facebook decides to ban your account for advertising, which they do quite regularly to people? Luckily, I've seen several bans even of clients over the past few months, and they got their accounts back from this. But if you don't have an email list and you build your whole business off of Facebook, that means your whole business is at the mercy of Facebook. And Facebook's a private company who can choose to drop you anytime they want. That's the first factor of it. The second thing is again, I have all these clients who have big businesses across Facebook and YouTube. I have a lot of clients who have large YouTube channels, a lot of clients who have large Facebook audiences. I was just looking at a client's ad on Facebook. He has a video ad running on Facebook. It's like 10 minutes long, so it's a long video ad that has millions of views now, thousands of comments on it, and is generating a lot of sales for him. And the whole process we're actually using with him, he drives people over to his page. We'll make sales from his page from Facebook, or we'll also drive them to an opt-in page, get them on an opt-in email list and sell them. But whether we make a sale directly, which we do at times, especially with lower ticket products like under $50, we might go directly for a sale. Mm-hmm. Whether we make a sale or we go for an opt-in, we're still building an email list, because that customer email list is more valuable than the free subscriber email list. But either way, we're building an email list, and that's where our money is. And even the clients who have the big channels and run the big paid advertising campaigns, a majority of their income that comes in month after month after month is direct from their email list.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. It makes complete sense. Mm-hmm. But, most people think that the open rates are getting lower, but that's also due to what we're going to talk about, the correct way to do email marketing.
Yes.
So if email is not dead, what would be the correct way to approach this email marketing thing? No more newsletters, right? Those monthly newsletters that just say updates of what happened.
Yeah.
Forget about that.
As a small business person, last thing you want to do is do just a newsletter. Like you see some people publishing newsletters and all these separate articles. Don't do an email that just has a bunch of images in it, like you see some of the big retail companies do. Okay. Don't do that either, because your small business can't do that. That works big if you have a huge brand and you have massive lists and people already know who you are. Okay. If you think about this, if I take a store that might be doing something like that, if I took a Best Buy, okay, Best Buy has a name brand. Nike has a name brand. They can send it out. And they spent millions and millions of dollars to build that name brand. Well, most of my clients don't have millions and millions of dollars to spend before they have a name brand. So we have to take a totally different model. And I want you to think about this. And I originally got some of these ideas from some of the direct marketers who did direct mail. People like Gary Halbert, who always talked about A pile, B pile mail. And you can even say there's A pile, B pile email. He said with A pile, B pile mail, that was if you send out a letter to somebody, if you're sending a personal letter to your friend, you're going to hand address it. You're going to put a real life stamp on it, not a metered stamp. You're going to send it to them as a letter. You might even put like a little personal post-it note on top of it when it goes to them. And email's the same way. When I send an email, what people don't know is probably the most important factor of whether your email gets opened or not is the from line. Who is it from? And do they know who's it's coming from? And so in a small business, if you're in a like an information business or a consulting business or a chiropractic business or a CPA business where there's a personal face on the company. All these types of companies have a personal face. Mm-hmm. I do business with this. You're a real estate agent, okay? If somebody's a real estate agent, then you are a personal face. That means your firm address needs to be your name, because it's a personal type business. It needs to always be your name in those cases. If you're in a retail type outlet and it's not as much personal, sometimes mm-hmm. you could do it as the company name in that type of case. But the majority of my clients, we have our own name there and they're building a relationship by the name. Now, as you go into the rest of the email, as I always tell you, here's the simple formula for subject lines. The formula for subject line is benefit plus curiosity. Benefit plus curiosity. What that means is, what's in it for me, the reader, plus, can you make me a little curious about something? Mm. So it's subject lines that build up a little curiosity. And a way I always say that is curiosity is probably our strongest power online. I think everybody's heard of clickbait headlines, mm-hmm. which are, you know, they get you to click over. But the problem is a lot of clickbait headlines are kind of deceitful in the fact that they say something, but then the article doesn't deliver on it. I tell people to do subject lines that are kind of like clickbait. There's benefit and curiosity in the subject line, but you do deliver on it somewhere in the email. Exactly. So whatever you said in the subject line, you deliver on in the email. And so from there, basically our subject lines, and let's see, we'll think about some subject lines here. I'll read off a few, a late ones, an example here. Benefit plus curiosity. Today's subject line that I just sent out doubled his revenue while cutting his hours in half. Okay,
I saw it. It's brilliant. Yeah.
That's a case study email. Another subject line: earn $1,000 plus from your next email. Mm-hmm. Batman secrets to profitable emails.
There's still a benefit there, right? Profitable emails.
Yeah, it's profitable emails.
Well, I have to know what this is. I have to open it, right?
Yeah, basically that was a real easy one to describe. Batman secrets are the curiosity. Profitable emails is the benefit. Absolutely. If you don't want to write more profitable emails, you're not opening it. If you do want to write more profitable emails, you're like, what are Batman's secrets to more profitable emails?
What do you think of those very short subject lines that only curiosity-based, like open this, read this? Well, what is your opinion on those?
They're very limited in use, which means you can use them once in a while. They're going to have a higher open rate. But in my experience, they don't increase the sales rate, which is what I really care about, is I want something that really connects. Now, for example, sometimes the best selling subject lines don't have the best open rates.
Okay.
Like, for example, if I've been running a special this week and we're on the last day of the special, it's almost guaranteed one of my last emails on the last day is going to say last chance. Mm-hmm. Last chance to save $200. The open rate on that email is usually lower than my average, but that's okay. The reason it's lower than average is because they know it's the last chance to save $200. That means all week I've probably been telling them about the $200 discount that they could have. So anybody opens it knows what I'm selling. They know I'm selling something, but those emails also have the highest sales rates. So that's a mistake people make, is they just look at the open rates. I care more about my sales rates than I do open rates. And so I'm thinking about that here. So when you say the short curiosity only, they have good open rates and they can work as long as you use them sparingly. Mm-hmm. If they become your basis, you start losing the audience because you're not staying on track. Just like a clickbait headline does. You send out a big clickbait that you don't deliver on the promise in the email, you're going to get a tons of opens, but it's going to hurt your open rate for future emails. Yeah. So benefit plus curiosity, deliver on it in the subject line. Then once we get into the email itself, there's two different models to think about here. The first one is what I consider my daily ongoing emails. And these are the ones that are the majority of emails. And for those, I just use a simple three E's, as I call it, which is entertain, educate, earn. It's a very simple model here. Mm-hmm. Entertain means I'm going to start with something that's a little bit of a hook. Often it's a little story. So it might be me talking about something that my dog did that was funny, since of course my dog's important to me and that's part of my personality. It might be a story about how I went out to the restaurant and something there sparked my marketing curiosity and I talk about that. That's a little story. Sometimes it might be something that one of my clients did or something one of my clients asked. Or my story might be as simple as, hey, a customer sent me this email today asking this. Mm-hmm. And then what the question is, and I answer. That's, again, just a little hook that's a little entertaining. It's some little story that hooks people in and gets a little interest. And don't be afraid to use humor in your emails. Just when it comes up, if you have, you know, a humorous idea, use it in the email as the first part, especially. So I start off the email with something humorous, something a story. And then the educate is where I'd say there's some type of tip, some type of value that you're giving, don't try to give too much value in an email. An email is a quick bite of content. That's all it is, just a quick bite. If we were going to the ice cream shop, it's not the full cone. It's the little tiny cup that they give you a taste of the ice cream. That's what an email is. And so I give something that's entertaining, some type of story. I give some tips, something of value in the middle, maybe a couple of little tips that are just like boom, 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 quick. And I think about emails that way. It's just a boom, 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 quick conversation. And then earn, the third part, means I transition from the education into what I have to offer. And you're going to see very few emails I ever send out where I'm not linking to something I have for sale.
So you absolutely defend that you should always have an offer at the end of every email. Yeah?
You should always ask people to do something. That's the best way to say it. Always ask people to do something. I want you to go here and buy this. A few emails might say, hey, please share this with your family and friends. You might, let's say you post you post a brand new video on YouTube and you want to make sure your audience goes and likes it and shares it and it builds up the watch time on that video when you first put it up. Well, then maybe that's what you say on the video. Yeah. You know, the email is, hey, go over and check out this new video. It's going to give you even more information about this. Please like and share it with your friends and post a comment right here. That's, again, a call to action. So a good way to say that is the end of every email has a call to action. I always, always ask them to click somewhere and do something.
It also gets the users used to the fact that they have to click on something, right? At the end of every email, there's some action that, which will help you in the future when you have a big offer or something, right?
It will when you have a big offer. And so those in those emails, I make sales pretty much all the time from these emails because I'm linking over to my products. I'm talking about my products. And the nice thing is when you do emails like this, when you're selling, you might think, okay, I have a lot of different types of customers. They're buying my product for different reasons. Well, that means I end up hitting all those reasons in my different emails. And so I'm subtly hitting and I'm getting rid of all these objections that could have came up on separate emails as I tell my story, as I do different types of emails. And those are the basic day-to-day emails. And then the second type is what I call the money on demand emails. And we'll move there when you're ready to.
Exactly. Awesome. Brilliant tips. And so imagine as a business owner, okay, this email marketing sounds interesting. How can I start building my email list? What would be the starting from zero? What should I approach? How should I approach this situation? Top first two, three things that I should focus on.
Well, the very first thing you should do if you don't have an email list at all is you're going to need to get one of the email providers. And as I said, it doesn't matter which one you get, as long as you get one that you're comfortable with, whichever one you recommend to them, it will be fine there. You know, there's AWeber, ActiveCampaign, JetResponse, ClickFunnels, there's tons of email. Funny thing is I have clients who use all different ones and they all do a pretty good job. Any of the recognizable names does a pretty good job. Don't host it in-house because you're a small business person. You're not a tech guru. Don't waste your time there. Yeah. Okay. Even if you are a tech guru, I tell you not to waste your time there. Spend your time investing in building somebody else's new software or something else if you're a tech person. Let all these companies that are affordable rate run it with them. So get one of these services. That's the first step. Then come up with something that you can give away as a freebie. The last thing you want to say, and I see big businesses do this, they say, sign up to get our emails. Oh, nobody is thinking about the fact, I need more emails. They don't wake up in the middle of the night saying, I need more emails. I'm going to go to his website and get some more emails.
Oh, please send me more. Yeah.
You know, that's not going to work. If you're a retail shop, like a store, sometimes we call it a lead magnet, to keep it simple here, this is the gift that you give someone when they opt into your list. They're not going to sign up just for emails. If you're a retail store, the lead magnet can sometimes be really simple. It might be a 20% off coupon for your first purchase. That's a very simple lead magnet. You get 20% off. And the nice thing about a lead magnet like that is you're going to attract people who are already thinking about buying from you.
That's a good
subscriber to have, someone who's thinking about buying from you. So that's a very easy one if you run a retail shop. But let's say that you're a consultant, or this would be true of a chiropractor or a CPA or something like this, where you're not going to necessarily give a discount on your
lawyer or something.
Yeah, like this. We'll say something that's professional. People hire you because you're a professional. Well, then most of the time what we're going to want to put together is some type of information that we can give them. And I used to teach that we do like a report or like an ebook. And I'm sure you're going to see a lot of people still teach that.
Yeah.
But today I found with how busy everybody is it's much better off doing some type of cheat sheet or like a short video. And a lot of times I even like to do a video plus a cheat sheet.
Easy to consume.
You're going to like this one. I've even had a time where somebody put a long training video on their opt-in page And the opt-in is the cheat sheet for the video. And the motivation there is most of the people hitting the page don't want to watch the whole video. They just want to grab the cheat sheet. So they opt in for the cheat sheet. That way they're giving value when they hit the page and then they opt in for the cheat sheet. But most of the time we just on our page, we'll say, hey, you want this? You can just opt in and grab this free cheat sheet. What kind of cheat sheets would we have? Let's say that you're a CPA, a tax accountant. Your cheat sheet might be the 15 most common tax deductions that small business owners miss.
Yeah.
That is something that would grab their attention. And that's just, again, throwing off.
And it adds value, right? Immediately adds value to the client.
Yep. And that cheat sheet might only be one or two pages long. Mm-hmm. And it's just a checklist. It might just be a checklist that they can check off. Are they doing all these? And of course, it has your contact information at the bottom of it. It tells them how to contact you for their free consultation to have you look over and come into your business. And you can think about it, almost any type of professional service, you can have something like that that's just a cheat sheet. A real estate agent could have a cheat sheet of what to look for in a new house, things to check when you're looking for a house, how to prepare to find the right house. They could have another one, how to prepare your house for sale. What are the 10 best things you can do to prepare your house for sale? Because the real estate agents I've worked with, they most wanted to get the listings. If they can get the listings, the people who want to sell their house. And so that's the type of cheat sheet they could give away. It's something along those lines. A cheat sheet that I give away on mine is the Golden Glove, which is a 5-step persuasion system, which someone can download as a reminder with little pieces there. And that's one of the cheat sheets that I give away for an online consulting business.
That's amazing. Thanks so much. Multiple tips here, guys. yeah. And so we also mentioned that copywriting is one of your main skills as well, right? And for those who don't know, what exactly is copywriting? This is a term that many people hear about, but just write some text. What can you define quickly what is copywriting actually? And what's the benefit?
Probably the best definition, which I'm stealing from someone in the past, is salesmanship in print. Which basically, that's just sales skills in print. And probably the biggest mistake when I teach people, when I first start teaching people to do any type of copywriting, because if you're going to be successful online, if you're going to be successful as an entrepreneur, you have to learn basic sales. Mm-hmm. If you can't sell, you can't be an entrepreneur. That's just the theory. You have to learn some level of sales skills. And the biggest mistake that people make when we start talking about copywriting is they think that they have to get in some like copywriter mode. They think they have to be like a writer. And I even call it, I use the word copywriter ease, where they get in and they think that being a copywriter means throwing up a bunch of amazings and marvelous and all these big words onto their page with lots of hype and emotion, when real copywriting is simply taking a good, simple sales presentation and writing it down. Or, for example, I've worked with a client who was a stage hypnotist, which he did entertainment on stage hypnotism, and he helped people of that nature. But as you can imagine, since he is very good in front of an audience, I didn't have him write copy at all. What we did was I had him write out a sales script and he did a video sales letter for his website because we wanted him on video because that was his skill. That was his talent. That was his ability. And I found this, especially for brick and mortar businesses, especially things like chiropractic, we will put together their website, which is going to have copy on it, which is the same thing they'd say if somebody came into the office to sell them on their services. And here's a quick bump for you if you have a brick and mortar business. Taking the owner, especially in a personal business, lawyers, chiropractors, accountants, where someone's talking to you in person and they need to trust you personally, if we put together like a 2 to 3 minute video of you giving a very basic understanding of who you want to serve, what you can do for them, here's a few of our testimonials, and here's the offer I have for you and why you need to take action. Just a simple video for like that 2 or 3 minutes long, boost their conversion rate on the website dramatically because it's that personal connection with the business owner.
Absolutely. I also think video is like becoming more and more important because of that, to replicate what they already do offline, right? To put it online, it's brilliant. And then regarding like a landing page, if you had to give like a quick 3-step copywriting formula to create a landing page that converts, could you define like overall what would be the main focus points?
Okay, well, I'm not going to give you 3 points. I'm going to give you five.
Five, it's even better.
What I call the Golden Glove, and we'll go through them quick here. Okay, and that is the Golden Glove, which I originally developed at doing all these workshops. I had to come up with a system. And then after developing this, basically said I can increase anybody's conversion in 15 minutes or less with the five-step system. And the five-step system is, first of all, desperate problem. Okay, so your website is going to say something about the desperate problem you solve. What problem do you solve? Nobody cares about your product. Nobody cares about your company. Nobody cares about you. Okay, let's all go cry because nobody cares about us. In business, they don't. Hopefully your mother cares about you. That's separate.
Because they don't know you, right? They still don't know you, so they don't care.
Yes, so what they care is what you can do for them. And so desperate problem is, what problem do you solve and who do you solve it for? So call in at your audience. So you help people. If I was a real estate agent who helped people find $500,000 plus homes, then I might mention this, that people are struggling to find homes. And I might mention that I specialize in $500,000 plus homes, because what am I doing there? I'm disqualifying the people who aren't my market at the very beginning of the website. I save them time and I save me a lot of time from this. Remember, our goal isn't to get everybody to read my website. Here's the biggest mistake. They think that our goal of the copy is to get everybody to read. No, my goal of the copy is to get my buyers to read. And on a website, you're never going to convert as well on a website as you do in person. It's not even going to be close. Okay. It's just understand that. And so if people come to my website, an amazing website like Amazon, I haven't checked the stats recently, but I think Amazon had something like maybe 11% conversion or something along those lines. And they have the geniuses of geniuses figuring out how to make everything convert on their website. And they sell all these low ticket products, 11%. So that means I'm probably not going to do that as well as them in most cases of what I sell. So that means if I can sell 10% of my audience, which is incredible, if I can sell 10%, that's incredible. Okay. A lot of times we're dealing with like 1 to 3%.
Absolutely.
So if you sold 10%, that means 90% of the people who come to your website, you're not speaking to them. So in the desperate problem, I'm going to call out who I'm speaking to and what the problem is that I solve. Second piece, and I call that the second finger of the golden glove, so you can look at your hand in five pieces, is unique promise. So what is my unique point of difference? So why should they choose me over every other option? And you've got to think about that. For a chiropractor, you know, you don't want it to just be pricing, because if every chiropractor looks the same in your area, then it's just going to be based off of price. Maybe it's the way that you do your initial offer. Maybe it's the testimonials or proof that you have. Maybe it's the little 5-point system that you take each new client through, that maybe other chiropractors even do some of the same system, but you've now defined it. And we do this 5-step system. So look at some marketing comes in here. What makes you different? Why should they choose you over every other option? Because every other option is just a few clicks away online. That's the thing to think about. So that's the second piece, is what makes you different. Then the third point is what I call overwhelming proof. And I've tested this so many times. Moving proof up on the page almost always improves the conversion, at least some point of proof. Moving a testimonial up on the website, that, because some proof is testimonials. Sometimes it could be your own personal story why you do this. For you might be that little video of you coming on video. That's a little proof point because you're demonstrating this. It might be as simple as on some of my websites where I have a membership site, I will take people on a little video tour through my membership site. Here's what you get after you order. That's a form of proof. On my Autoresponder Alchemy course website, where I'm selling my email marketing course, I have a lot of stats from big companies like the Direct Marketing Association, McKinsey and Company. It talks about all the stats of email marketing and how it's working even better than it was some previous years when you're using it correctly. Those are all proof points that I use on the site. So I use a lot of proof points. And the fourth piece is an irresistible offer. So what's the one action you want people to take when they're at your website? A lot of websites are confusing. And if I come to your website and I don't know what you want me to do, then I'm out. So you can really have one or two most wanted responses. And that is, either you're going to try to get an opt-in or you're going to try to sell a specific product. Again, if we talk about the lawyer likely wants me to sign up for a phone consultation first or to come into the office. That's the response they want me to take. I'm not going to hire them and sign their $10,000 contract on their website. I'm going to do something that takes me there. The chiropractor wants me to come in and first for my first visit, which includes, and his offer might be x-rays and the report of findings and the consultation and a free adjustment. He might put all that together. That's his offer. On a website where I'm selling an information product, my offer might be, you get this product, plus you get these bonuses that come with this product. It also includes this full money back guarantee. That's all part of my offer. And you're going to see that a lot of times the place that you can increase your sales the most is either by adding more proof or improving the offer. And then the fifth piece is a reason to act now. Why should I take action now? Yeah. best case scenario is there's some kind of deadline. There is something that you're selling out. For example, if you're selling a workshop, obviously there's a specific deadline for that workshop. And you're going to notice a lot of your sales come in right before the deadline. Mm-hmm. And we're talking major. There's a lot of times where I run an email special and half my sales come in on the last day. And it's going to be the same thing with your website here. Here's a little tip I'm just throwing out real fast. Sometimes we run people over to our website, and a lot of the big advertising services, Google, Facebook, a lot of the others, you can pixel. I'm not going to go into all this, but you pixel those visitors. Yeah. And then you can retarget those visitors, so I can run ads specifically to people who came to my website already. And then so now you run your Facebook ad just to the people who visit your website. Perhaps you give them a discount offer. Maybe it's 20% off your service, but it's only until this day. Mm-hmm. That is an awesome way to follow up on them and give them a reason to act now. Brilliant. If I don't have a deadline, if there's not a reason to act now, it, like I'm selling an ebook and I'm not going to run out of ebooks to sell, which is obvious, you know, we're not going to sell out of ebooks. If I don't have that deadline, then sometimes I will talk about the danger. What are they going to miss out on? I just helped a chiropractor earlier. That's why it's kind of on my mind. yesterday with his website. And one of the things I said for his reason to act now should be, he should talk about if they don't come into his office now, then the pain that they're experiencing is going to continue to get worse. At some point in time, it might become permanent.
Touch the wound a bit, right?
Yeah, you just kind of stick in a little bit because here's the sad thing. We need a deadline to move. And he's really helping them there because that is true. Is it true that the pain might become permanent sometime? It definitely is. And everything on your website should be true. So you think about those 5 points: desperate problem, unique promise, overwhelming proof, irresistible offer, and a reason to act now. If your website is not converting, you're missing one or more of those 5 points. And if you were to hire me to come in and improve your website, I would improve you on one of those 5 points.
Yeah. Brilliant. Wow. This is a value bomb dropped. It's a huge bomb. It's going to be a huge lesson for my audience. Thank you so much. So we're reaching the end, Terry. I just have a couple more questions, a bit more about your personal life. Let's ask this question. If in the past 5 years, did you create any new habit that drastically improved your life? Anything that comes up to mind that you could share with us?
A new habit? Well, I'm getting off to a little bit on the religious side, but it's a new habit for me that's consistent. Yeah. Is I have prayer and Bible study every day, and that's actually been really good for me. And even for someone who's not a religious, I'll take it off to someone who's not religious whatsoever. Just taking time to think and journal every day would be a very valuable thing. Other people take time to meditate, and we're talking about a similar concept here. And so for me, that's been a huge habit that actually lets me get focused on what I want to do. Cause it seems like you get into the day and you get busy.
Yeah.
And if you take a little time beforehand, for me, again, pray and get in the Bible, that separates me from, you can say, all the other activities that'll distract you the rest of the day. And it kind of gets you focused on what, on who you are. And that's probably a big aspect that I want to add in is this is in copywriting and it's also in our own personality, is whatever your identity is, you never rise above it. And if you want to really help your customers, you have to raise their identity and their copy as well. So I'm very much on the copyright side. Let's not tear people down. Let's build them up and let's help them succeed. And so you can say that's a big habit for me personally, and the one that stands out the most that I think of.
Absolutely. That's a brilliant advice. One that I should also work on more, but I'll start focusing on that now. And do you follow anyone online for inspiration? Is there any, or you probably stopped doing that, but is there anyone that inspires you and influences you somehow?
There's a lot of people that I listen to partially. The interesting thing is I moved out. There are not a lot of them in what you call the internet marketing field. They're
could
more
anything,
in the,
exactly.
the broader business field. I still, I'm on a lot of email lists. I still like listening to Jay Abraham. Let's see. What's his name? I'm looking over to the side to look under the books up here. I'm not seeing it. Donard Miller, who runs StoryBrand. I like him. He has a nice email list that I'm on his email list. He makes great videos every day.
I should subscribe him. Cool.
I'll promote him. He promotes me regularly too. With Miles Beckler has an awesome YouTube channel and helps people.
Miles. He was in this channel.
he's awesome. A great person for people to listen to. And so there's a lot of people that I listen to that I grow through and I learn from. And you could probably say on the bigger all business side, when I first got started, I focused a lot on copywriters until I could really learn
this stuff,
copy, and learn that really well. And then I expand out there into a lot of the other business fields.
Awesome. And if you had to choose one book to offer someone, it could be any area, copywriting, business, entrepreneurship, what would you be?
For entrepreneurs, because that's who we have listening to us, this is going to be a weird suggestion. I'm going to recommend that they... I'm going to recommend Essentialism as a great book. The whole point of that book being, it's not like there's a ton of insights in the book. There's one main point to that book. And that one main point is that you're trying to do too much and you're going to improve the success of your current business by narrowing down, not expanding out, and focusing on what you can be absolute best at. And that's the whole point of the whole book. Like, one thing I remember well from the book is everyone talks about priorities. And he said, even the word priorities is wrong. There can only be one priority.
Exactly.
to be used accurately. And so that's a great book. And I mean, there's so many good books. I'll throw in my own here as another one that I'm cheating, but I have a book called How to Sell Without Selling that you can pick up on Amazon.
You have a book?
Oh. Yes, in both paperback and Kindle versions. And so it's How to Sell Without Selling by Terry Dean. And they should pick that up too.
Oh, definitely. I didn't see it on your website. Maybe I just didn't search well, but I'm definitely going to buy it. Thanks for the tip. Awesome. So you want to share some of your links? How can people know more about you?
Well, the best way for people to get to know more about me is to go over to mymarketingcoach.com. That's mymarketingcoach.com. No spaces, no dashes or anything like that in it. Mymarketingcoach.com. Go over there. And of course, I have a lead magnet there, which are the the seven unique ways to create profitable emails, even if you're not a writer. So that's actually a report which comes with cheat sheets in the back. So I still give away a report there, which is, it's one of the newsletters from my $39 a month newsletter. So you're getting a good value there. Plus you get cheat sheets in the back of it to make email writing easier. Matter of fact, one of the cheat sheets I want to promote, so you're getting multiple cheat sheets, you get 64 story shortcuts, which is basically questions to help you think of ideas for stories to tell in emails.
Oh yes.
So you want to grab that for free over at mymarketingcoach.com. And then you can get to my other sites from mymarketingcoach.com. There's Autoresponder Alchemy.
Are you more present in any social media, or you're not at all very active there?
You'll see me sometimes over on Facebook or Twitter, but they're much better off getting on my email list.
Yes.
That's better off for me. It's better off for them. They'll get better content from me on the email list because you'll see exactly what I'm doing. And you could look at my emails and go, okay, I saw he used the golden glove in the sales email, which we didn't get time to actually get into money on demand emails. They'll find out about that on my website, those are. That's when you want to generate a lot of income quickly from your email list. It's a different kind of email. They'll see those types of emails. They'll see the entertain, educate, earn type of emails, and they'll see the model just by getting on the list.
Brilliant. Mr. Taradine, thank you so much for your time. I absolutely appreciate this. It's going to be a ton of value for the Portuguese audience. And I think people are going to really grow out of just listen to this podcast. Thank you so much for your time.
Thank you.
See you soon. Pronto, foi então o final de mais um grande episódio aqui do podcast do Tiago. O Sr. Terry realmente distribuiu aqui bombas de conhecimento a torto e direito, e eu acho que você vai aprender bastante com este episódio. Se gostou do vídeo, por favor, deixe o seu like, subscreva o canal para ver os seus vídeos, faça todos os sociais, manda um e-mail à sua audiência sobre esta entrevista e até ao próximo episódio. Muito obrigado pelo seu tempo.